Good morning. In our lab at Simon Fraser University, we're working on this very important problem of how do you capture and support the analysis process. And to accomplish this, we've created a system called Seesaw. Oh, there we go. So it makes sense that the majority of visual analytics researchers focused on interacting with data and visualizing data. But there's a growing body of researchers who are also working on the analysis process itself and how do we support it. So for example, an analyst may want to see the state of the analysis from yesterday or last week. How can we allow them to do this? They may also want to remove the need to perform repetitive actions on different data sets. How can we support this? So, of course, in the Seesaw system, like any other visual analytics tool, we allow the analysts to explore the data through data views. But in order to support the analysis process, we also make a formal record of the history of their exploration process. And in making this record, we are building an analysis model as well. So in building the analysis model, we realized there were two sort of separate steps. We needed to capture the analysis, and we also wanted to visualize this model in an effective way to the analyst. So these four components basically form the base of our system. Basically, while we're capturing the process, we are getting a model that can be reused and a history view that can be navigated. So the four components of our Seesaw system are data views, the script engine and language, dependency graph, and the history view. And I'm just going to talk in brief about each of these components. So the data views provide multiple perspectives on the data, and the data in Seesaw consists of text documents with extracted entities. An entity is a person, place, date, etc. that appears in one or more documents. And our data views are greatly inspired by the Jigsaw system by John Stasko at Georgia Tech, and that's actually the next presentation is on Jigsaw. So, for example, here we have document views, which allow the analyst to read the text of the documents and see a list of entities in the documents. So, for example, these are two airport incident reports. We have a graph view, which is actually turned into more of a hybrid view of graph and list views. This is because we allow aggregate nodes. That's a node that represents more than one entity. So, for example, here on the left, we have this is an analysis of a B737-300 model airplane. And we've expanded this node to see a list of all the states that are also mentioned in the same reports as this model. And we've also expanded the list items New Jersey and New York to see all the airports as single nodes that are mentioned in the same reports as these states. And then expanded the airports in New Jersey to see an aggregate node of the number of reports that mention these airports. We also have a list view, which allows the user to see multiple connections between lists that can be sorted in multiple ways. Now, all semantically meaningful user interactions in the system are recorded in Seesaw's script. And basically, the data views generate script. And then when the script is run, the data views that are involved in that piece of script are updated. And also when the script is run, the dependency graph is updated with any modifications to the variables or any additional variables. And meanwhile, the history view is showing a visualization of the temporal order of the script. So the script view basically allows the analyst to view and control the script. This is where they can actually type in commands directly to the system, which when run will update the data views. As the analysis process is going forward, the script is constantly being saved. And the script view allows the analyst to load a different script and step through that script. They can also go back and replay a script from the beginning. So our script has two levels, transactions and commands, where a transaction is made up of one or more commands. The transactions are at the basic user interaction level. So for example, performing a search and displaying the results in one or more views, or expanding a document node to see all the connected entities to that document. On the other hand, commands are at the basic system action level, where generally you need more than one command to carry out a user interaction. So for example, some commands involve querying the database, while other commands involve displaying the actual data. So the dependency graph, as the name suggests, displays the underlying dependencies between the variables that were created in the script. So for example, here we have an analysis session, that's that pink node on the left there, that depends on a runway database set. And we've created a graph view called GView in this analysis session, and we've done a search for the B737 aircrafts, which is the purple node on the left. And then maybe we've found the airports that are also mentioned in the same reports as these models. And so that's the second purple node. And we found the other models that are mentioned in the same reports of these airports. And we've displayed all this information, which is the three orange nodes, is the actual display of these data results in that graph view. Well, the great thing about the dependency graph is we can replace the contents of any of the variables at any point in the dependency graph, and the changes will propagate through. So for example, if I decide to search for B747s instead of 737s and put it into that first purple node, then the other two nodes would update their contents to match, so you would get the airports that B747s are mentioned at and the models. So that's a great thing about the power of the dependency graph. Now to visualize the analysis history, we created the history view. Basically, what we've got here is we got one screenshot for each transaction that's been run in the script. So the screenshot's just taken at the end of the transaction. And the analyst can navigate through these screenshots to see the analysis history. They can also use one of these screenshots to sort of go back in time, to revert the system state to that transaction. And they can add bookmarks and they can add notes to these history nodes. So now I'm just going to go over some of the basic user interactions in Seesaw. There's the straightforward interaction of going directly with the data views. And what that does is each user interaction will generate a transaction in the script. And then the script will be run, and any data views that are involved will be updated. The dependency graph will have variables updated or added to it. And the history view will add another screenshot. So then the second way to interact with Seesaw would be to type directly in the script. And that basically has the same results because you're running script again. So the data views involved will update, and then dependency graph and history view will also update in the same way. And the third way to interact with Seesaw would be to use the history view to go to some past state. And so what that would do is that actually changes your location in the script, your current location. So the data views will update to whatever state they were in at that point in time, and the dependency graph will update to whatever state it was in at that time. So if you're going to some point in the past, it'll probably shrink. So now I'm just going to go through a video, which basically gives a sort of video introduction of Seesaw, and then goes through a scenario of an analyst solving the VAST 2008 mini challenge number 3, which was the cell phone calls. And hopefully the video is at a good dimension.
We introduce Seesaw, a visual analytics system for investigative analysis problems, where the data consists of collections of documents containing identified entities of various types. Seesaw's four major components are, first, data views derived from ideas in Georgia Tech's Jigsaw that display documents, entities, lists of entities, and node link visualizations. Second, a script consisting of statements generated by user interactions. These statements are interpreted by Seesaw to produce changes to the visualizations we described. Third, a dependency graph of script-generated data elements. And finally, a history view of all prior stages of an analysis. We now demonstrate the use of Seesaw to analyze the VAST 2008 cell phone challenge. Recall that for this problem, the analyst has access to a data set of phone calls logged over a 10-day period. The goal is to identify by call density which phones belong to who and determine if new phones have replaced old ones in the Catalano Vidro social network. The analyst starts with the information that Ferdinando Catalano's phone identifier is 200. The analyst first queries the database for phone 200 and adds the result to the graph. He then looks for all phones in contact with Ferdinando. To do this, he selects from the menu at the top of the graph view what he wants to display and how he wants to display it. Here, he chooses phones to be displayed as graph nodes and double-clicks the 200 phone node to reveal 6 phones. The analyst is interested in any changes to call patterns of Ferdinando's contacts. He thus requests a linear, time-ordered view of phone usage over the 10-day period. The analyst now sees the dates of all phone calls made by Ferdinando's contacts. Looking for temporal patterns, he selectively highlights the connections for each phone and notices that phones 1, 2, 3, and 5 seem to stop making calls on June 7th. This leads him to suspect that each of these phones may have been replaced by new ones. To test this hypothesis, the analyst will do the analysis for one phone and then use the dependency graph's reuse capability to test the remaining phones. Starting with the new graph view, the analyst searches for phone number 1 and assigns the result to a variable he calls original phone. This variable is then added to the dependency graph. The analyst then finds contacts of phone 1 just as he did for Ferdinando, and assigns them to a variable he calls phone contacts. This variable is now dependent on the variable original phone and is also added to the dependency graph. Now all of phone 1's contacts are displayed. To find a phone that may have replaced phone 1, the analyst would like to find a phone that shares many contacts. In the options dialog, he asks to see phones connected to the contacts of phone 1, naming this new group of phones replacement phone. He also asks that this group of phones be filtered for phones that have 10 or more of the same contacts as phone 1. Since phone 309 and phone 1 are the only phones connected to the majority of these contacts, the analyst hypothesizes that phone 309 may have replaced phone 1. To further strengthen this claim, the analyst compares the calling period of both phones. First, to simplify the view, he chooses to compact all the phone contacts into a single circle node. To see the calling pattern, he selects a linear layout of all the dates these phones were used. He assigns this set of dates to a variable named call dates, which again is added to the dependency graph. The analyst now easily sees that phone 1 was active during the first 8 days and then abruptly stopped, at which point phone 309 started to be used. The analyst thus concludes phone 309 is highly likely to be phone 1's replacement. The dependency graph which Seesaw builds based on the actions of the analyst can now be used to test similar hypotheses for the other phones by simply changing the value of the variable original phone to one of the other phones in the list. As the dependency graph suggests, any changes to a variable will propagate to its child nodes. Continuing, the analyst changes the value of the variable original phone successively to the remaining phones 2, 3, and 5. The analyst performs this reassignment in the search panel by selecting original phone from the drop-down menu. We can then easily replace phone 1 with phone 2 and the variables phone contacts, replacement phone, and call dates will all be updated based on this change. This update of the graph reveals phone 2's replacement phone is number 397. The linear layout of dates also shows that phone 397 started being used at the same time that phone 2 stopped being used. Repeating this process for phones 3 and 5, the analyst sees that they were replaced by phones 360 and 306. By allowing the analyst to skip many repetitive actions, the dependency graph essentially lets the analyst work at a much higher level.
Alright, so hopefully the video also sort of put into context where a system relates to other systems that have already been created. For example, it's pretty clear that our data views are very inspired by the Jigsaw system, which is going to be talked about next. In terms of the analysis process and understanding and visualizing it, we take ideas from a lot of different systems, including Harvest, Revise and Devise, VizTrails, the GVU Center at Georgia Tech, and Tableau. So feature directions for Seesaw. We definitely realize that we need to evaluate it through a user study. We want to develop the scripting language into a fully functional programming language, including support for loops and conditional statements. We'd like to put in history branching, and we want to explore other data views, so more hybrid views involving continuous zoom or semantic zoom. Thank you, and any questions? We don't have very easy access to users. We have some students in our lab that have been working on data from Boeing, and just one of the students found the dependency graph very useful in just being able to remove the need to repeat those repetitive tasks. You just change the initial search, and your your tasks are done over again automatically. But in terms of real users, we haven't had much access to them yet. But it's definitely needed. Yes?
So moving to a real programming language is a very interesting idea, since the scripting is fairly limited in what you can do, but it makes the dependencies much harder. So do you think the dependency graph structure will be enough as you move to a real programming language with iterative concepts and conditionals and the like, or is there going to have to be some richer representation of what's going on in programming rather than scripting?
That's a really good question, and I think we'll probably discover that as we're working through here. In terms of the problem is if we add iterative statements, or rather conditional statements, then how do we represent the dependency graph if it's in two different states, right? So we're actually right now working on the problem of history branching, and do we want to do that through branching an actual history view, or do we want to do that in the dependency graph? And one of the professors involved in the project is talking about how can we have nodes in the dependency graph that have more than one value that you can change? So yeah, there's a lot of work that we have to look into here, and that's a very good point. Thanks. Well, the system isn't designed as a collaborative, synchronous collaborative tool, but I mean, the whole point of the script and saving your analysis process is that in the end, someone else could pick it up using the same script, because you can load a script and run through a script, and then you get a sense of what the person was doing. So adding notes to the history view is also really useful to say, this is what I, not just for yourself coming back later and saying, okay, when did I choose to do something else, but for someone else trying to go through what you did in your analysis process.